T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're going no huddle.
With the midday show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Go now, let's go!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy, kicking off the 11 o'clock hour with the NFL no huddle as we do every day. Brought to you by RS Andrews. Keep cool. Get an RS Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. Coming up in 25 minutes, some interesting changes potentially on the horizon. The NBA is kicking some stuff around, kind of trying to feel like soccer, maybe.
Yeah.
The NCAA made some changes to the transfer portal yesterday. We know the NFL is constantly making changes with their rule book. Why so many changes? Why is everything changing right now? We'll get to that at 11:20. The Wendy Zone at 11:40. We'll get back to the Braves in about 10 minutes from right now, as the Braves are one win away from taking another series from the Cubs. 5-1 against the Cubs so far this year.
They put foots in them.
That's great, man.
Yeah, that's really good, especially when we're considering the Cubs one of the better teams there. I need to check. Where are they in the Central?
Third, right now? Third best in the National League.
You know
League.
What I'm saying? So it's saying something about what the Braves are doing on the road in this four-game series. Again, Bryce, let's just hope. My thing for these young pitchers, when they come up, get you another start.
Yep.
That's my thing.
Yep. We'll get back into that. And Bryce Wilson making his second start of the season, but his first start since April, later on tonight in about 10 minutes from right now. Before we do that, NFL no huddle, a handful of things to touch on here, starting with a list. Are you ready? You ready for today's list?
Yeah,
by the way,
yeah,
you need to start making lists.
No, I'm good.
This is a Randy McMichael list of lists.
List of lists. I'll think about it. I got to figure out what I'll make a list of.
List your favorite face mask types. You know, because everybody has a different face mask now in the NFL. What's the best looking face mask?
Andy?
10 through 1. You don't want to do that? Okay.
No.
We'll do
it
this.
Consider I wore one face mask my whole life.
What'd your face mask look like?
I wore the Deion Sanders face mask.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Because of Deion.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Got it at age 19 and didn't change it.
Remember when LaDainian Tomlinson changed his face mask and he had kind of look like
horn,
the Punisher?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was a cool face mask.
Yeah. He had a rough year that year, too.
He did.
Yes.
I know. As soon as he changed, that was the year after his MVP year, right?
He had a rough year.
And then he changed it to the Punisher face mask, and that was kind of it for LaDainian Tomlinson, unfortunately. Should have stuck with the other one, I suppose.
Yes, he should have.
That's not what we're talking about, though. This list here, courtesy of CBSSports.com, ranked the most difficult schedules or strengths of schedule in the NFC South. Where do you think the Falcons came in, Randy? Only 4 teams in the NFC South. Who do you think's got the most difficult schedule in the NFC South?
Well, since you told me in the break, the Falcons.
Yep, the Falcons. You got it. You nailed it. They're according to CBSSports.com and their schedule difficulty rating of 99.125.
Okay.
I don't know how much that's out of. If it's out of 100, that's a lot.
That's a whole lot.
If it's out of 200, that's not that much. If it's out of 1,000, it's really not very much at all.
It's irrelevant.
But it's 99.125 is their schedule difficulty ranking. Now, in the NFL, CBS Sports says the Falcons have the 16th hardest schedule. So they're right in the middle.
Okay.
But in the NFC South, the Falcons have the hardest schedule. And, I mean, look, you look at their schedule, and I know this is a hard exercise to do on, what is it, June 27th, when we don't know who's going to be healthy in week 3 and you don't know how new coaching staffs are going to coach, and you don't know how draft picks are going to play and all these sorts of things. But just on the face of it, when you look at the Falcons' schedule, especially the first 3 weeks, it's not easy. You got at Minnesota, then Philadelphia comes to town, who some people think, according to a list that we talked about earlier in the week, have the most talented roster in the entire NFL. And then you go on the road to Indianapolis and Andrew Luck, who was in the playoffs last year too. And then, of course, you have the division, which you know is going to be tough. There's some talented teams in the division. I think it's fair to say that the Falcons, at least maybe it's hard to rank how hard their schedule is compared to the rest of the league. I think it's fair to say the Falcons have a difficult schedule coming up in 2019.
Yeah, I mean, they got some woo-bangers on there. I mean, you start off the season at Minnesota. You come back. You got the Eagles coming on a Sunday night game, which is going to be awesome. They're going to be rocking.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, then you got to go to Colts, who are so much better than they were 2 years ago. They've been drafting well, and Andrew Luck's healthy. So, yeah, I mean, you look at those first 3 games. Yeah, it's going to be – if you look at last year, it's going to be harder on the Falcons. But, I mean – again, we don't know what's going to play out until, you know, they actually line up, because we all know that everybody's 0-0 now. Last year doesn't mean anything other than to do lists like this. It's so irrelevant. But at the same time, the Eagles are talented. They're a very talented football team. The Vikings are talented, and they're home, and it's opening Sunday. There's nothing like opening Sunday. I mean, it's unbelievable. So it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, no, I'm with you as far as, and I think the NFL is the league more than any other league where it's really hard to go year to year, because you see teams go from the championship game in their conference to 6-10 the next year. You see teams go from 6-10 to the Super Bowl. So it is difficult to sit here early in summer and talk about whose schedule is going to be the most difficult. But that's what we do in list season. We've got another list. You ready?
Uh-huh.
Pete Prisco ranked his top 100 NFL players.
What's my honorary Pete?
He was at Falcons training camp last year in flip-flops.
Yeah, that's Pete. Pete, old school. That was, old school.
Is that old school?
He's just old school.
Old school means he show up dressed pretty nice.
No, not him.
He's flip-flops. Man, that was an impressive display.
Do you know who
display.
I am? That's
I didn't know who he was.
Oh,
I said,
you didn't?
No, I said to Jarvis, who's the guy in flip-flops?
Yeah.
And then Jarvis said, I think that's Pete Prisco. And I said, oh, all right. Pete Prisco's wearing flip-flops to camp. Anyway, he ranked his 100 best players in the NFL. Everybody's doing this.
Yes.
Four Falcons in the top 100. Julio Jones, number 7. Okay, fine. Matt Ryan, number 27. Grady Jarrett, number 66. Deion Jones, number 96. Did anyone get snubbed by Pete Prisco?
No. Because I see it right there. Was anybody left? Keanu or Devontae Freeman? No, because they were injured last year. I think Deion got 96 because he came back. You know, if he was probably out for the whole season, I doubt he'd be in 100. And Deion Jones is not the 96th best player in the league. I think he's a lot higher than that, but he has got to, you know, stay healthy and go do it. But I think Grady should be higher. We talked to Daniel Jeremiah yesterday. He's one of the best D tackles in ball. I mean, he's not Aaron Donald, but not too many are. He's not Fletcher Cox, but not too many are. But he's somewhere in that next tier of defensive tackles, if you talk about just disruptive and can do both things, pass rush and play the run. I think, of course, I think Julio Jones is a top 10 player in his league. I do. And I think Matt Ryan is higher than 27.
I think he's higher than 27.
Yeah.
I put him higher than 27.
Yeah.
I'd probably have him top 20 at some point.
At some point,
there's a lot of really good players in the NFL.
There are.
All right. Other news from yesterday. Tyreek Hill met with the NFL for 8 hours in what was quoted as being a, quote, very thorough interview.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think happens with Tyreek Hill?
He's going to be suspended.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how long. I think
because the Chiefs already suspended.
Yeah.
Now the NFL is going to make a decision as to what they're going to do.
Yeah. I think that he'll be there for training camp. I think they'll reinstate him for training camp as far as the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think the league will suspend him at least 6 games. At least. So, yeah, I mean, this is he's going to be punished for whatever happened. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, he wasn't found guilty. They didn't charge him or anything. But that when does that ever matter in the NFL? They do their own investigations, and they find that he's culpable of something. He's going to serve some time. He's going to be suspended.
I mean, I guess this gets back to an argument that's been had a lot of times, because you're right. Criminally, in court, nothing has happened.
Nope.
Does the NFL have an obligation to do that themselves, though, to be their own judge, jury, and not, I mean, executioner, but suspender?
They're a private funded group.
They are.
Yeah, they can do what they want to do. If you want to play in my league, you abide by this rule.
I know they can, but should they?
I don't think they should, but that's just me. I mean, if you're not found guilty in court of law, then I think that you should be on. But at the same time, they can do what they want to do, man. And we always go back to it. And I know Mike Bell brought it up a couple of days ago, the collective bargaining agreement. That's what we agreed to. You know, we agreed to give them all that power and everything.
Do you think that's something that'll be on the table this time around?
It's hard.
I don't think the NFL is going to budge on that.
They're not going to budge on it. And here's why. Because the players won't stay united on it, because a lot of players, and we were going through this, that was a big topic, is like, why should I miss out on checks when I'm not the one getting in trouble? It's three or four guys a year that's getting in all this trouble. Why should I have to sacrifice myself because of them?
Well, that's the unfortunate part of the narrative of it as well, is because there's seemingly always one guy at least in the news about something like this. Now, look, the Tyreek Hill situation happened a long time ago, but it's in the news for a long time because they're still investigating it. They're deciding what they're going to do. There's been various different instances to the point where it seems like there's a lot going on, and it seems like there's a lot of bad guys in the NFL. In reality, like you just said, it's a handful of guys that are constantly in the news cycle, whereas 95% of the guys in the NFL never get in trouble and never get their names in the paper for anything that they did wrong. And if I'm one of those 95% of the guys, you're right, I'm not. All right, no, I'm not going to give up, because there's only so much that the NFL Players Association is going to be able to get accomplished in the negotiations.
Yes.
And if I have to give up one of the other things that I really care about to try to take away the judge, jury, and suspension ability of the NFL, I'm not doing that.
Exactly.
I want life lifetime health care or guaranteed contracts.
I want something that will benefit me. You know, I mean, that's what it is. I want something to benefit me. And if I don't get in trouble, why the hell do I care what Roger does? Because, you know, that's how it is. That's how it was in the last negotiation. But at the same time, the players, you've got to find a way to stay united. If you want change in the league, you got to miss some checks. Because the owners are not going to budge.
No.
You have to make them, but they're billionaires for a reason.
Yeah, they got other revenue streams.
Yeah, they're billionaires for a reason.
You miss a couple games, they're still going to be okay.
Yeah.
You miss a couple games, you might not be, especially if you're a young player in the NFL. Exactly. All right, final story here. The Carolina Panthers are going to be on Amazon's All or Nothing. It's sort of like a
spinoff of
like a Hard Knocks. But it's Amazon's version of All or Nothing. Carolina Panthers going to be on it this year. You think we're going to learn anything interesting about Carolina behind the scenes?
No, because they're a pretty boring team outside of camp.
Yeah, but Cam will be on there.
Cam will be showing off and everything.
Fun outfits.
And having fun outfits and everything. But they're overall.
Silk suits.
They're a boring team. Which
Who is
not
else
bad.
Is interesting
they're,
on that team?
Okay.
I'm trying to think. Not really anybody.
Exactly. They're boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty boring.
Greg Olsen might become a broadcaster, so maybe they'll talk to him a little bit.
No. I mean, yeah, okay, they're going to talk to everybody.
I'm trying to come up with other storylines.
Outside of Cam, you know, they're a boring team.
Yeah, that's about it. All right, that'll do it for the NFL No Huddle today. We'll get back into a bunch of changes that could potentially be coming in other leagues. The NBA has an interesting proposal to try to spice up its season. We'll get to that coming up in 15 minutes. Before we do that, though, let's get back to the Braves, what they did last night. And Nick Markakis stays hot.
Swing and a drive that's hammered toward the gap. That ball is in the basket. A three-run homer.
Cakes.
I love when Chip Carey, when the initial the ball, Chip, he just gets that high voice. But, yeah, Cakes went a yard.
He did.
We were making fun of it yesterday. Like, we were talking about people locked in somewhere. We were talking about LJ locked into the closer, and we were talking about Cakes locked into that fifth slot. No matter what goes on, he's going to be right there.
So you're going to vote for Nick Markakis for the All-Star team? That's what you're telling me?
Yes, Nick, I am voting for Cakes.
Because you can only vote for three outfielders.
Right?
Obviously, one of them is going to be Ronald Acuna.
No doubt.
And by the way, you could vote until 4 o'clock this afternoon. You have just under 5 hours left to vote. You can also vote on our poll question on 92.9 The Game on Twitter, at 92.9 The Game on Twitter, which is who's the Braves' first half MVP?
Yes.
Freddie Freeman, Ronald Acuna, Mike Soroka, or Austin Riley.
Yes.
Those are your four options. So
yes.
You can vote on that as well. That one's easy for you because they're all Braves options.
And the
All-Star voting's a little more complicated if you want to be honest about it.
Okay.
Because there's guys that are more deserving of the All-Star vote than Nick Markakis.
Whatever. And Wendy just said that, of course, and Freddie's running away with it right now.
Rightfully so.
I'm not saying that Nick deserves to be an All-Star. I'm still going to vote for him, Andy. Okay? I'm going to vote for him. I did vote for him.
You did already?
Yeah.
So that means you voted for Ronald Acuna.
Yes.
Nick Markakis.
Yes.
And Cody Bellinger?
I voted for Yelich.
So you didn't vote for Cody Bellinger.
Somebody had to be left off.
Somebody did.
Yeah.
And it should have been Nick Markakis.
Somebody, I can't vote for all of them.
I know you can't.
You know, so I had to, it was either Cakes or it was Bellinger. I know Bellinger is way better than Cakes, but Cakes is my guy. So I'm going to vote for my guy.
Yeah, Cakes is your guy.
Yeah, it's
and
my
guy. The nickname and everything. You're fond of all of that.
Yes.
Which is fine. I think that's a fair way to do it. That's how I did it when I was a kid.
Yes.
You just vote for all the players that are on the team that you root for.
Exactly.
And I'm going to do the same thing.
I know there's
you convinced me earlier in the show it's the right way to do it.
I know there's no way Cakes is starting over any of those dudes.
Yeah.
I know, but still.
He was an All-Star first time ever in his career last year.
Well deserved.
It's amazing. He absolutely right. He deserved it last year, and he still played well this year. He had that downtime midway through May where he really wasn't playing well, but he's picked it up since then. I am interested to see if they're going to be able to find him a couple more days off because that's what they said they were going to do throughout the season, and he's literally played, and he hasn't started every game, but he's played in every single game this season.
Yeah, and Snick, I mean, I wish I would have saved those tweets from Mom O'Brien yesterday when he was talking about, you know, Snick was like, he was like, well, you know, we're not there yet. We're not there yet to be letting guys off and everything. And they're in his rhythm right now. I think you had to sit down Austin Riley, let him get himself together because he's been struggling a little bit as of late. But, yeah, you got to get Cakes and you got to get him some rest. And the one guy we know that's not going to miss any time is going to be Freddie Freeman. We know that. But Freddie missed the game already because he was sick. But, yeah, I mean, when you're at the stretch where you are right now and you have – no lead is comfortable when you got this much time left in the season, but – you know, why not try to get some of these young players in there? Why not try to allow the young players to get a little experience because you never know when you need them.
Mm-hmm. Our poll question is about the first half MVP, and that's a fun conversation. We can get back into that a little bit later. If you had to pick something that you would identify as the the most impressive part of the first half. Doesn't necessarily have to be one guy. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a circumstance that was overcome. Whatever. You can identify it however you want. But we're halfway through the season. 81 games. Last night was the 81st game.
Mm-hmm.
48 wins already. Right. On pace mathematically to win 96. I think that technically the way they've been playing lately, they could be on pace to win even more games than that.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say would be the thing that impressed you the most in the first half of the season for the Braves?
With the revolving door as far as relief pitcher, starting pitcher, and everything, how this team has found ways to win.
Me too. Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say. You stole my thing. I'll try to come up with the second one while you elaborate on that.
I'm glad I went first. Well, I mean, because you would have started, I would have said the same thing. Damn it, Andy.
Dang it, you stole it.
But no, if you look at, and I know that the pitching has been a problem league-wide, but I always say this, I just worry about my squad. They have went from coming into the spring as like, oh, we got this thing set. Remember last year how they did? This is going to be our faulty guys. We got Newcomb and we got these young boys, Tookie and everybody. And that's completely erased. It's completely erased. And then you look at, oh, we got the bullpen. We're going to have this double. We're going to have dual closes and Vizcaino and Minter and all that. We got all this. And all that's wiped away. And yet they're still finding ways to win. And that's what I love about – I didn't know how good this lineup would be. I knew they would be special, but I didn't think they'd be like this.
Yeah.
You know, and then we kept hearing about this kid, Austin Riley. So when the hell is he coming then? And
May
then
15th.
You bring him in, and you don't look back.
Yeah.
And that's the most impressive thing to me. Yeah, you're going to have some games like you had the other day with LJ and everything. He's going to be some good ones. It's going to be something to make you want to throw something to the TV. But yet you always feel like this team is always in it.
Yeah, I'm going to go similarly. The fact that they've been able to overcome the pitching rotation and bullpen.
Yeah.
The bullpen's been better, but all the revolving door, like you said, but how they've done it.
Yeah.
On the backs of these young guys. They basically said what they were going to do 3 years ago, and they've been doing it.
Yep.
Wave after wave after wave of prospect.
Get rid of some of them and get you some.
Ronald Acuna and Ozzie Albies, what, homered for the seventh time in the same game yesterday? No one their age or younger has ever done that. You got two guys in the top four in terms of the best rookies in the league this year with Mike Soroka and Austin Riley. They're doing it on the backs. I mean, Freddie Freeman's probably the first half MVP. That's fine.
No doubt.
But Freddie was going to do that anyway.
That's Freddie.
It's all these other young guys around him that are making this happen, and that's amazing. And hopefully the Braves can keep it up. We'll get back into the Braves a little bit later. The Wendy Zone at 11:40. Coming up next, though, interesting article alert. Interesting article on ESPN.com last night about potential changes to the NBA schedule. Why is everyone changing so much right now? I fear change, Randy. We'll talk about why coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, coming up in 20 minutes, the Wendy Zone.
Bye. Oh, no. Fame.
Some interesting off-air conversations going on with Wendy. We'll see how much of that translates on, because I am now Wendy's relationship advisor.
Yeah, you're stuck with her.
I wouldn't say stuck. I'm proud to be Wendy's listening ear and relationship. I won't say guru because I don't know how good I am at it.
Andy,
I just got lucky.
Andy, I was that guy.
I know you were.
Yeah.
And you didn't want to be.
Mm-mm.
But I put my hand up in the classroom and volunteered.
Because he cares.
Because I care.
I care about my Wendy. I just don't want to be the
just not that part.
That guy. No.
So anyway, we'll see if we could check in on that situation and try to get to the bottom of what exactly is going on. I got one other thing happening today that I want to mention before we get to some of these changes and why changes are happening so frequently right now in sports. Not just in the NBA, not just in the NCAA, not just in the NFL. It's across the board. So Knox Bardeen, our website guru, our social media guru, just came in here during the break and let me know that tonight at 8:45, right after his daughter's softball practice gets over at 8:30, they are going to Facebook Live the drawing of a raffle ticket for a Big Green Egg.
That's right.
And if you bought a $20 raffle ticket, all the proceeds went towards his daughter's softball team. His daughter's on an incredibly successful softball team.
And she is so good.
She's throwing no-hitters and hitting home runs and all kinds of stuff. She's awesome. It's really cool to hear about it from Knox. And it's even cooler just to see how proud Knox is of it. So, yeah, obviously, easily, buy a $20 raffle ticket to support the cause. Of course you're going to do that. But it's also possible you could win a Big Green Egg in the process.
Right.
Knox tells me there's only about 200 raffle tickets in there.
Okay.
So I got a 1 in 200 chance of winning a Big Green Egg tonight for only a $20 raffle ticket, which to me seems like a pretty smart investment.
Yeah, it's really good.
How grimy would it be? How regrettable would it be to try to, you know, rig the system on something like this? How bad of a... How bad of a karma mistake is it to try to rig a Little League softball raffle?
Like you said, that's about the babies, man. And you can't do that, Andy.
Well, the money's already there. They got all the money. It doesn't make any difference.
That, but, I mean, you can't be that desperate.
Somebody's going to get a big green egg.
They are. Yeah. They are. And
it might be me just because of the odds.
And I hope it is you.
I hope it is, too.
I hope it is you.
But it could definitely be
not
me.
Not be you. How are you going to rig it?
Well, just, I mean, if it's a $20 raffle ticket, they got 200 tickets.
Are you
going to
buy
there.
More raffle tickets?
Well, just slip them like 100 or something like that. Then it's a $120 big green egg, which is like a tenth of the price.
Yeah, you're getting away with a steal, right. But at the same time, you don't need to do that. All right, that's not good karma right there.
No.
Like, yeah. No. Don't do that.
Okay.
Don't do that, please.
All right, I won't. I was just thinking about it.
No, don't do it.
But I won't do it. Yeah. Okay, we'll get to the Wendy Zone coming up in 15 minutes. I'm not going to rig a Little League softball raffle, even though I hope I do win that big green egg. And if I do, I'll let you know. Because that would be a very nice addition. Just got the main grill now, but to have the other grill next to it, I just strive to one day have the setup that you have in your backyard.
Go ahead.
I want to.
Just make sure you do it when she ain't looking.
Well, or if I win it for $20 in a raffle.
If you
win it
for $20, she's gonna be so excited.
She'll be pumped.
Yeah, she'll be excited.
Yeah. All right. So we'll check back in on how that goes later on tonight. Wendy's Zone in 15 minutes. Midday Show with Andy and Randy here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And at some point this hour, we are going to give away a pair of tickets to the Big 3 basketball tournament on July 7th at State Farm Arena. So be listening very closely for your chance to call and win those tickets. We've given away a pair of tickets every day for the last couple of weeks. So there's a couple of different things that happened yesterday that struck me as interesting. They're related in that leagues seem to constantly, right now, be interested in changing themselves
for whatever reason.
Now, I think that the reason for change, or at least the inspiration for wanting to change, comes from the right place. I don't know that they always get it right. In fact, I know that they don't always get it right because the NFL has to go back and try to fix their rule changes every single offseason because of the rule changes they made the other offseason that convoluted the rule book and made the game slightly more complicated than it already was. But I think the reason for change at its base core level is that they want to make the game more interesting, right? And they want to make things better, the product better for the fans. Is that a naive thing to say?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
But to that point, who are you trying to appease? Because, I mean, I'm not a guy who...
That's a great question.
When everybody was talking about, the ratings are down here, are they still making money?
They are.
You know what I'm saying?
Of course they are.
Are they still making
hand over fist
money?
Every league.
Are you trying... You're trying to appeal to a fan base right now that really don't care that you're trying to appeal to them.
So, well, I don't know that I agree with that. Let me tell you the changes just in general that we're talking about right now.
All right.
Number one, the one that actually is changing is the announcement or the report that came out of the NCAA yesterday that the transfer portal and the transfer rules are going to be more strict.
Right.
The transfer portal and the way things have gone the last 12 months, I guess, has freaked everyone out to the point where they had to scale it back a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the most interesting part of the change, the way that I understand it, is that there is now a written caveat in the rule book that says in order for a player to be granted transfer eligibility and be allowed to play the next year if his waiver goes through, mm-hmm. is the athletic director from the school that he left has to say that he met a number of requirements.
Right.
Essentially, I mean, in a way, going back to when coaches were allowed to give their blessing or block players from transferring.
Right.
And that was one of the big things that was changed a couple off seasons ago was coaches can no longer block players transferring.
Right.
Because remember the kid, the Falcons drafted him this year. Transferred from Alabama. Nick Saban blocked every school in the SEC.
Yes.
Which was pretty petty
and
kind of ridiculous.
Yes, it was.
So I like that they did that. And maybe that change was in the best interest of the athlete. Not so much in the best interest of the fan. What the NBA is talking about doing, and this is the other change that led us down this path of discussion, was the NBA is kicking, and these are preliminary talks. This is not something that is set to happen in 2019 or anything like that. But the NBA is talking about messing with their regular season.
Yes, they are.
Maybe shortening it. Maybe adding a mid-season like type of cup.
For what?
Like a U.S. Open Cup type thing for context in the MLS. And then maybe having some sort of like... tournament that you have to the playoffs are a tournament that you have to qualify for, but adding another type of competition or like a Champions League type of competition in the NBA, I guess to spice it up. And that would be where I actually at least understand where they're coming from with this.
Please explain to me where you think they're coming from.
Because I think we all agree to a certain extent that the NBA season is too long.
Okay.
The regular season in the NBA is 82 games. It doesn't have to be.
Why is it all of a sudden, it's just, I mean, why is this, why does everything need to change so much? You're talking about doing a mid-season cup like in soccer. So, hell, they're going to play Mexican League teams and Canadian. I mean, is that what you're talking about?
No, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to continue to play each other. I don't know if what they're proposing or what has been reportedly proposed is a great idea. Like, I don't know that the specifics of it are a great idea. But I think the idea of it is on the right path. Because, again, if we agree that the regular season is too long and that people lose interest in the regular season at times, and look, I mean, I don't. I start watching in summer league.
Right.
And I watch the preseason and I watch, you know, I'm going to watch all season long. I just love the NBA, but not everyone does. We know that. We talked about this the other day. There's a lot of people that don't start watching the NBA till after the Super Bowl.
Yes, I understand that.
So if you can do something as a league to make your regular season more interesting, I think you have an obligation to try to do it. And I respect the idea of trying to do something to make everything that you do interesting, because that's what the NFL has done. The NFL has found a way to make not just the games, all the games matter. All the games are there. What part of the NFL calendar, 365 days, is boring?
None.
Like right now, kind of. And that's about it.
You're talking about, okay, so you're saying shorter to 50 games. Again, I didn't have a problem with it the last time they did it, because my Heat, they ended up winning the championship that year. But, I mean, you're doing all these changes, and I'm like, who is it benefiting? Is it benefiting the players? Because I thought that's what it was always about. It's about the players' health. But no, it is about the fans. But
it's
what fan base are you trying to – What demographic are you trying to appeal? Are you trying to appeal to the younger players?
You know.
The younger people.
The younger fan. The 18 to 34-year-old fan.
Are they sitting there watching it? Are they sitting there the whole time? Why? No, I mean, I go back to what I said when we started. Show me when they lose the money that you got to make a change.
And that's a great point, because
the thing about the owners.
The bottom line is healthy.
Because the owners are like, okay, so you're cutting out over 30 games. Where am I going to make that money up at?
Right, and that's the thing. There's no way there's going to be less games.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, but there might be less regular season games.
Like, so they're going to extend the playoffs? They already damn near 3 months long.
Or have another type of tournament thing that's in there.
That's what I'm saying. What is the point behind the tournament? To do what?
I guess to make it more interesting in the middle of the season. To give you an opportunity to root for a championship in the middle of the season. Because I think we've gotten to the point where, and look, I'm not sitting here saying that this is the greatest idea in the world. I'm saying that I understand where they're coming from, because they are losing interest in the millennial viewer.
Are they making money?
Yes.
Do you see the NFL, the NBA or anything falling off anytime soon?
Probably not.
Okay, then. So that means you can throw out all these ideas, but just like anything else about that money. I understand, yes, 82 games is a long time, and for some reason players can't play all 82 games. I don't get it, because, you know, Mike and all of them, they played 82 games in a league that was a lot more physical, and you didn't hear them complaining. But now it's load management. I mean, how about this? You got load. If load management is the reason you're not playing, you don't get paid.
Okay.
How about that?
I'm sure that's going to be negotiated collectively.
How about that? Load management? All right, you know what? Give me that check.
But again, I think that's where this is coming from the NBA, is there's a lot of fans that are frustrated. You go to a game, happened a handful of times here at State Farm Arena last year. Oh, the Pelicans are coming to town. Great, I'll get to see Anthony Davis. Nope, load management.
I agree 100%.
Oh, cool, LeBron's coming to town. We ran promos about LeBron coming to town for months, and they didn't play.
That's what I'm saying. I don't like that, dude.
Yeah.
Especially when you're a team that you don't – if LeBron from the Lakers, you coming out here to Atlanta, you should play because of the fact that you don't come out here but once a year.
So that's one of those things that maybe they see that becoming a problem. Yeah, you're making money on it today.
They're going to find a way to do load management in 50 games, bro. I'm sorry to tell you. All right? They're going to find a way to do load management in any schedule, all right? They soft, man. All right? I mean, these fans pay good money to see you. You should play when you're on the road.
Well, maybe they should change the rule about being soft. I don't know how you write that one in.
Oh, damn management.
All right, we'll come back and get to the Wendy Zone. That went about the way that I thought it was going to go.
Fang. Yeah, because you said the demographic, and you right there in that damn demographic.
I am in the demographic.
Yeah, I know.
I want things to be as interesting as possible at all times.
It is interesting.
The Wendy Zone's interesting.
Fang.
We'll get to that coming up next, right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What is this? There's something wrong with the house. I don't like change.
Time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up in 20 minutes, top of the 12 o'clock hour, we'll get to the most important audio in the entire universe. Also going to get back into who is the Braves midseason MVP at 12:20. And you could vote on that poll question At 929 The Game on Twitter. Freddie Freeman, Ronald Acuna, Mike Soroka, or Austin Riley. Those are your four options. We'll get back into that in the 12 o'clock hour as well. And be listening closely for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Big 3 basketball tournament. As we do every day at 11:40, Wendy Adams joins us in studio now for the Wendy Zone. Wendy, how are you?
I'm super.
Hey, Wendy.
Have a great day.
Are you super?
Yeah, I'm great.
You sure?
Yeah. Life's great. I'm great. Dating's great. Everything's going well. It's Thursday. It's almost Friday.
All right. Yeah, we're getting there. It's almost Friday.
Wine has never let me down. It's going to be the best relationship I have in life. Anyways, there's been an issue that you guys have talked to me about, and I think I'm finally seeing your side. So, Andy, this past Father's Day, you said you wanted it to be the last one on not being a father.
Yeah.
And I am instantly like, well, when you have a baby, we had to do a gender reveal party or a gender reveal activity to figure out if it would be a boy or a girl. I was a big fan of those.
I'll tell you how my gender reveal party is going to go. Okay? Are you ready?
Sure.
It'll be me and my wife.
Exactly.
And there'll be a doctor there.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely at a doctor's office.
Yes.
And that he'll have, what is that stuff you put all over the stomach?
The
ultrasound jelly.
Yeah, the jelly.
Yes.
And you get the little machine there and you see it.
Oh, look. There's a little.
Hey, look. There is or there isn't one.
Yep.
And then that'll be it.
Yep.
And then I'll come in the next day and I'll tell you guys.
So you're not going to pop the white balloon
like a fun
to see
party?
If it's like blue or pink or anything like that.
Nope.
And like you know confetti. You know me. I'm in for fun. Yeah. I'm in to have a good time. I just, that feels like an intimate moment that I don't want to share with a lot of other people.
It's not. Okay. I look at it in none of your damn business, and I'll tell you what I want you to
that's
know.
That's what I mean. Yeah, it's one of those things that's private.
Yeah.
Also, I don't want to react inappropriately depending on what the color of the balloon pop is.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
You said you want to be a daddy.
I do.
Does it matter?
I don't think so.
Oh.
But it's one of those things where you don't know until it happens.
I don't think so.
I mean, I'm pretty sure 99.9% that I would react the same way no matter what.
We've seen this happen before with like a family who has three girls and they want a boy and then they're having another girl. And they're like,
right, exactly. Like, I don't want that.
This is the first one.
I know that, Randy.
It would be.
I know that.
Dude.
I think I'm pretty sure.
99.9%.
And I'm 99.9% sure it's the first one, too. So that would be good. But I don't want there to be any possibility. Also, I don't want to end up on one of those dumb viral videos.
Okay.
Remember our buddy Kyle Tate? I was there when he did that, when he didn't swing at that damn pitch. You should have swung at it.
Protect
the plate, Kyle.
Yeah, and he didn't actually hit the ball.
Exactly.
It bounced on the concrete.
And I don't want to be that guy.
They found out the gender reveal. But I think I'm coming over to your side because you said viral video. So there is one that popped up on Twitter yesterday, and it is so It's just so weird, and I want you guys, I'll retweet it at 929 The Game, but PGA Tour sent out the tweet of the gender reveal. So Dustin Johnson is playing in this week's PGA Tour stop in Detroit. He's one of the favorites to win. So on Wednesday, he provided a moment for the couple for a gender reveal, and it's just weird. So he walks up to this couple and goes, "I hear y'all are pregnant."
Awkward.
And he goes, the guy was like, "What? How did you know that?
How'd you know that, Dustin Johnson?
Did someone tell you?" And they just,
because Dustin Johnson has a history.
Yes, he does.
I don't want Dustin Johnson having anything to do with my pregnancy.
Of betting other golfers' women.
Yeah.
Oh.
Get away from here talking about pregnancies,
why he
Dustin
stunned.
Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah.
So both of them, it's kind of an awkward exchange. So then Dustin Johnson has this golf ball, a white golf ball in his hand, and then pulls out a pink golf ball and hands it to the couple and says, "Y'all are having a girl."
Hmm.
And the exchange is so odd because there is no reaction from the couple on having a girl. It's just so stale that I'm like, maybe we should just stop with the gender reveals.
Yeah, it's
because it is that painfully awkward.
Can you imagine if Dustin Johnson knew the gender of your baby before you did?
I'd be upset about
it. I'd be very angry about
it. And that's my thing. Okay,
unless they obviously love golf.
They must.
And that's what I'm saying about the gender reveal thing. I don't want nobody to know before other than the doctor.
That's it.
When you're setting up all these balloons and all that stuff, your friends don't.
Somebody knows.
No, because you can hand that paper to like the baker or the balloon.
But then the
baker knows.
I don't want the baker to know.
You don't want the baker.
Why do I want the baker or the balloon guy to know?
Exactly. I don't know the baker.
No.
And now the baker knows I'm having a boy. That's great. Thanks, baker.
But
I would like to have known that first. And if Dustin Johnson was the one who knew before me, that would be very problematic. But look, if it was Rory McIlroy, maybe.
No.
Maybe.
But who told Dustin Johnson.
Fred Couples, possibly,
is the thing.
That'd be okay.
Like, who told Dustin Johnson to do this this couple? I mean, it looked that awkward that they would have no idea that Dustin Johnson would be revealing that news.
Somebody did this with Zion Williamson. Duke fans somehow got Zion to be their gender reveal, and he dunked the ball, and it went through the net. I think it was pink, or maybe it was blue. I don't remember. I don't need Zion Williamson involved in my pregnancy.
Not at all.
Just me, her, the doctor, that's it.
And then we'll go to her. And then I'll tell you.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I'll let you know. If it's a girl, great.
Can we have like a shower for it? Y'all know the answer, but can we still do the party? Like we don't know and we can play guessing games?
Talk to her about that. That sounds like something she would love.
That would be amazing.
Have fun.
All right, another viral feud going on Twitter. So a lot having to do with Twitter today. So Sports Illustrated published an interview with Alex Rodriguez, formerly of the New York Yankees. And he was talking about the Met Gala.
And Mariners.
Sorry.
And Rangers.
Yeah.
A lot of teams.
It's a couple teams, yeah.
Former baseball player, Alex Rodriguez. Yep. Everybody knows A-Rod. So he was talking about the Met Gala that he attended with Jennifer Lopez this past year. And in the story, he said, quote, "We had a great table. We had Kylie and Kendall Jenner. Kylie was talking about Instagram and her lipstick and how rich she is."
How rich she is.
So Kylie sees the story and, quote, tweets the Sports Illustrated article saying, "No, we didn't. We only spoke about Game of Thrones." So then Alex Rodriguez had to backtrack on that story and said, "Oh my God, that's right, at Kylie Jenner. It was me talking about you and your makeup line and how much my girls love you." So there's this weird now ongoing feud on what Kylie Jenner and Alex Rodriguez talked about at the Met Gala. Just a very bizarre story and a feud I didn't see coming. But I guess if you're going to have a feud with somebody, Kylie Jenner is the name that you want.
Why?
Randy McMichael, your thoughts.
You're going to make headlines.
Well, A-Rod, you're proven known liar.
A known liar.
Known liar.
Multiple-time
liar. A guy
liar.
Who has he
not to me.
Okay, never mind.
Some people may have think that he has rehabilitated his image. Not to me.
Okay, I mean, you got J-Lo on your arm, so it really don't matter what
you think.
Yeah, so
it doesn't matter what I think.
It really don't matter what I think, but that's just,
and about $1 billion in the bank.
It's just funny what rich people talk about, what they argue about. You know, he sit at a table with Kylie Jenner. That's the younger one, right?
No clue.
Okay. She's the billionaire.
Okay, she ain't no damn billionaire.
She's a billionaire.
I thought she was a billionaire because of her makeup stuff.
Oh, she's a billionaire?
I think she's a billionaire.
Oh, really?
Which is why he said her name.
So, hold on, she got the bills, like, in the bank billionaire or projected to be a billionaire?
No, bank billionaire.
So she got a bill.
She was on Forbes.
Okay, then
as the youngest billionaire.
Wow,
she loaded.
That's
good for her.
That Ray J tape really.
That was Kim.
No.
I know, but
Ray J helped. Ray J helped all of them. I wonder if he get like a percentage of some of that.
Should.
He doesn't get royalties for that.
Why not?
I feel like he should.
He put them on, all of them.
Just her, and then it was up to them to what they were going to do about it.
They took the ball and ran with it.
Mom took
pun
the ball.
Pun intended.
Yeah. Mom took it. My baby on tape. I can make a whole lot of money with it.
Yeah, no, they capitalized.
Oh, yeah. I ain't mad at them. Well, I can't expose my baby like that.
No, that's not the way I would go about it, but, I mean, I'd like to be a billionaire.
Jalen, I'm not going to read the rest of that. Gender reveals are nothing but waste of money. ! I would think so. Like, I don't get that. Because when you look at the videos, it seemed like everybody else is more excited than the damn couple. Because I'm sure they had probably the same thought that Andy had. Dad probably wanted the boy, and then the mom might want the girl. I mean, you know, no, can't do it.
It's just not, I don't know.
It's about like having
I understand why people do them.
I don't.
I understand, because like, you know, that's where we are right now. It's
about like as bad as having a birthday party for a one-year-old.
For what?
The adults.
So the adults can get drunk?
Yeah.
Jai, he's about to have a birthday party for a one-year-old. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to it, and I'm going to get drunk at it.
I've had one-year-old birthday party, but that really wasn't my choice.
Jai's son's awesome, though. I want to go celebrate him. Yeah. Get him some cool stuff.
And drink booze.
And get drunk with Jai.
Don't be the drunk at the one-year-old party.
Don't be the most drunk at the one-year-old party.
Okay.
Second most drunk.
Knocking over the cake and stuff.
Craig Carlos Valentino will be the drunkest guy at the party.
Yeah, don't stick your hands in the one-year-old's cake.
Let me help.
Yeah, no. It can't be you.
All right. Thank you, Wendy. That's the Wendy Zone. We'll come back and get to the most important audio in the entire world to kick off the noon hour and be listening extremely carefully in like 10 seconds for your chance to win some Big 3 tickets. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.